Just a PSA to all my listeners. All of our episodes are pre-recorded, so you might have better luck finding a nun at a strip club than catching breaking news from us. Just a little Catholic school humor there. But don't worry. If we need to set the record straight or update you on anything, we will spill all the tea, or the Prosecco, if you will, on our next episodes. So please stay tuned after this episode for a really cool update. And now on to our show, Ride or Die, from Teens to Prosecco Queens. Welcome to Ride or Die from Teens to Prosecco Queens, the podcast where you will get it all, and I'm willing to put it all out there for you. The good, the bad, the ugly, the crazy, the enchanted, and the divine. And I'm your host, the forever dreamer, Teresa. So one thing that I have been very proud of with this podcast is that I like to educate and enlighten on subjects that aren't always talked about openly, without judgment, and without any preconceived notions. And in keeping with that tradition, I am sitting here with two very unique women, queens, if you will, who have something very interesting to offer. If you've been following our podcast, you will remember in season one where my prima Teresa, the Puerto Rican bruja, graced us with her divine presence and gave us the tea on what her spirituality means to her and the witchy ways she embraces tradition, ancestry, la cultura, and the spirit world to move energy in a positive light. And I wanted to expand on the conversation by embracing witchcraft and all it has to offer. That is why I'm so pleased to have these two best friends here with me today. Leah and Jill are Cabot sisters, best friends, and Cabot witches. For those who don't know, and I was one of them, a Cabot witch or priestess, if you will, is a practitioner of a specific type of witchcraft created by the official witch of Salem, Lori Cabot. These two badass priestesses have not only grown in their crafts, but in their friendship because of the bond that the craft helped create. Whether it started here or many lifetimes ago, I'm sure they will find out on their journey together. I am pretty excited about this convo because this is a topic I know nothing about, so I will be learning right along with you all. Jill and Leah were cool enough to send me some background info on their journeys to Cabot priestesses from their childhoods and then to each other and to the present. Today, I'm going to explore it all with them and have some fun too. I can say that being raised with brujas and honing my spirituality and intuitiveness as I've gotten older has been serving me very well. And I have been learning to trust myself more in the process. And through all of it, ended up meeting Jill through a coworker's wedding, who was really good friends with both of us. Over the past year, we have gotten more into discussions about everything from hermetics, which is basically early religion for those not in the know, witchcraft, energy movement. And Jill also performed a chakra balancing on me, which I have never done before. And if there's time, we'll definitely discuss that a little further. Without further ado, I would like to introduce Jill and Leah to the show. And if you ladies are up for it, let's dive right in.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So ladies, as I had said earlier, I know you guys are best friends, Cabot sisters. And I think in one of your bios, Jill, I think it was yours, you had mentioned that you both met in 2009 through a mutual, we'll say a mutual friend, but it was your ex, correct?
My ex-husband. Yeah.
Sometimes it's weird the way we meet people, but
yeah,
it works out in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I always say I got Leah in the divorce. Yeah.
one of the better things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
we don't always get money, but sometimes we get things worth more. So that's even better. So I'm glad to hear that. So tell me, in that case, what was it that drew you to each other? If you didn't know each other before, or know that I think Leah, I think you were already in this, correct?
Right. I was already, witchcraft was in my life and I was at times working with it. And at times I had put it away and I happened to, my ex fiance and I were hosting a party. And I believe I mentioned to Jill that I actually was a witch. And she said, "You're a what?" And I said, "I'm a witch." And she said, I actually practice with Lori Cabot. And she's like, "Who?" And then she was enticed, but she goes, "Okay, that's cool." And then we just bonded, I think it was, right? Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. Well, I've always been into things that are, let's, for lack of a better description, not normal. And I'm doing air quotes here, to
people. I always try not to go with, okay, we call it the mundane, right? I'm always like the odd person out. I don't go with the popular vote. I've always been, even in school, everyone was doing one thing and I was doing it the total opposite of everybody's. And just the unknown always intrigued me. And then the more I wanted to know more, I think it just was like a rabbit hole. You just want to know more and more and more. And my current situation that I was in with my that husband didn't allow me to go that route. And not that I left him because of that, but I'm just happy now that I'm a place where I can be who I want to be, who I was probably meant to be, and probably who I was. Now that I'm looking deeper into my past lives.
That's really interesting. So both of you, I would assume, and again, I got a little bit of it from your bios, from childhood, it just seems something as of a calling, correct? Because I know for me, being raised, like I had said, with these women that were intuitive, they were witches, they moved energy, they created things, they had rituals, right? I was raised with that. But as a kid, it took me a long time, long into my 30s, so I really said, this is a real thing. And I have this in my blood naturally, right? Something that is in my ancestry that I could hone. But I think you both had said that it was something that you knew, that you just knew from a kid, that this was, that you were a little different. And I don't like to say different, but you understand what I'm saying. A little
Yes.
something was a little different
Yes.
that made you feel more special in that way.
Of course. Yeah.
So
Yeah. I would say mine was when in childhood, knowing, just having the intuition to start to use my mind and focus and vibration when I was on the boardwalk to just try to win these teddy bears. No one told me, no one instructed me, no one brought it up to me. I literally dropped into a deep state of meditation as a young child,
wow.
focused, concentrated, and used within me my power. I would come home with hundreds of stuffed animals over and over and over again. And people would say to me, "You're so lucky." And I would never share what I actually was utilizing at the time. And then as I got older, I would bring up, by the way, I will mention I was adopted. So I didn't know my birth parents at the time. So my adoptive parents, I went to them and said, "What is Salem?" Salem came across my mind at one time, and they would just say, "Well, that's where witches come from," but left it alone, never talked about it, never said anything until I got to high school. It got brought up again about a friend of mine studying Salem, and then that intrigued me. That was my beginning of my journey after that to start to say, I need to go to Salem. And then that was my journey as I move forward. So I see the connection now with that as I learned, studied, and really worked through witchcraft as a science, which is the basis of the Cabot tradition. Is that goes back to that hermetic purpose of the visualization and the vibration,
The
right?
vibration. Yes. My sister and I last night were just having a talk about vibrations and how I'm feeling certain vibrations at times. And what's interesting is she made, my sister Gina, which Jill knows obviously, and she's been on the show with me too, made a comparison to me that blew my mind yesterday, and I'll never see it any different. And I was telling her that there's a few people and somebody who's very new in my life frequently, recently, that I can feel. And I, even my husbands that I've had, and I couldn't feel the same way. And it threw me off. It was crazy. And I would say that I could feel almost like a tingling. And then boom, I'd get a text message. And it was it it's been startling me more, because it's almost like kind of fun, right? Like I'm kind of like, wow, what else can I do with this? And my sister said to me, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because I want you to think about this, and if this makes sense in the analogy. She said, remember back in, take us back to the early 2000s when we would have the computers, right, with the big speakers that you have to turn on, and we would have the stupid cell phones, and the speakers would go before the cell phone would ring, and that's how you knew the cell phone was going to ring, because that frequency, you were getting that radio, the speaker was getting the radio frequency before the phone. And she says, so you're like the speaker. She's like, you're just on this, you're starting to get this frequency that you're opening up to a frequency. A little bit scary, I'm not gonna lie, but I don't want nothing coming to me. But like, just to the point that that's where you're, you know, when you're doing those, you know, your radio frequencies, and you're on those, on you're on those energy levels, that you start to become a conduit almost. Does that sound correct in its own way?
Yeah, that's also the third hermetic principle, which is what our tradition, we follow the hermetic principles. So there's mentalism, correspondence, vibration, polarity, rhythm, cause and effect, and gender. So there's seven hermetic principles that we do a deep dive into and base our tradition off of.
So Jill, do me a favor if you don't mind. A little, just a little background on it, maybe on each of those, just like even a sentence maybe on each of those, just to, so our listeners can have an idea of, you know, what each of them may mean. Because to me, some of them almost sound the same, like a little redundant, but they obviously are not.
It certainly is to a point. Mentalism is like the all is mind, like the universe is mental. Kind of have to read the Kabbalion, which is what we
That explains
it's a
that.
requirement. And then you have the correspondence as above, so below. So think of a tree. So a tree, if you look at the branches and then you look at the roots, is it not, does it not look the same?
So it's like a balance.
Correct. Vibration, nothing rests. Everything moves, everything vibrates. Let's say you walk into a room, and now we know you feed off of vibration, but a normal person, well, let's say, okay, I'm using that word again, normal.
Normal, right?
A mundane person, we'll just put it that way. Someone gave me the example of a teacher comes into a room with, it's in a bad mood. The students sometimes can pick up that bad mood.
Yes.
And so it's all about how you put off that the vibe,
The
you
vibe you put
know?
off. Yeah. The energy
Yeah.
you give is kind of what you're going to receive.
Right, exactly.
Makes
As
sense.
well as the thought. We have to remember that too, because the thought can drive vibration, because you're utilizing that mental part, the mentalization, and then the vibration. So we're so within, we talk a lot about, which I'll just say on a side note, and she'll keep going, is we talk about neutralizing the thought, because if we say, I could die for that cup of coffee right now. We say, I neutralize that thought because you don't want to die and you don't want to put it out there. So, as Cabot witches, we will say, I neutralize that thought. I would like a cup of coffee that I would enjoy. We really, really focus on how we speak and the words that we deliver, because we believe our thoughts and our words are the vibration that puts out to the universe for what we receive.
And I know you're gonna, Joe, continue, but I did want to just caveat a little bit off of that, because that's exactly what they tell us all the time. One thing that I've been trying to practice for years now is that positive speak, the positive self-talk. The po what you put out is what you're gonna get. I've said it on one of the episodes as well. If you're speaking, oh, I'm broke, well, you're gonna stay broke, right? If you're saying, listen, everything comes to me easily, and you know, I get what the universe is has for me, and everything is done already, those kinds of things, then those positive is gonna, it's what you put out is what you're gonna get. It's just in a whole in general, right? Is that alignment?
Absolutely. You
Right.
got it, girl. The polarity, it's kind of like, think of a,
Balance.
yeah, but think about like on a thermometer, you have hot and you have cold. Well, who's to say where hot begins and where cold begins? Right?
Interesting.
We don't really know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
So everything is dual, everything has poles, everything has opposites. Opposites are identical in nature, but in degree, extremes meet. So I think I watched Mitch Horowitz's Kybalion documentary, and there was a gentleman on there that said, to do a certain heart surgery, they had to put the patient into a coma or stop the heart, right? So is that person alive or dead? We don't know.
True. Kind of just hovering somewhere in between sleep and stasis and another universe, right?
So it's kind of like polarity, like everything has opposites, but then where do you,
There's no hard line,
yeah,
right? There's no
exactly,
hard line. It's like,
right.
yeah, interesting, right? Because if you're going to try to bring somebody back, you can't say that they're dead, technically,
It's
you know, if
right.
you're planning on
Yeah.
trying to bring them back.
So, and then everything flows out and in. Like everything has its tides, you know, the moon, the rise and the fall, the pendulum swing. So think about pendulum if you bring it so far one way, cause and effect. So every cause has its effect and every effect has its cause. So,
Cause
you
and
know, if you're
effect
gonna,
is a natural term that we
and that goes
all
again
use,
with the
right?
vibration, because if you're gonna do this, that's gonna happen, right? It
Exactly.
also cautions you to make sure that you are paying attention to the thoughts as well as what am I speaking, right? Because you create the cause, you could be the catalyst. And
Right.
then that's where the thought comes into the action. And before you know it, just like we said, right?
Right.
If you're saying, I could die for this, you don't want to die for it. You could say, I really enjoy something like that, right? The cause and effect.
And
Back
it's
to that.
mindfulness, right? Like another term for it is your
Extreme
mindfulness.
mindfulness.
It's just the
Exactly.
being aware of, you know, your whole body, everything about you will change once you change the way you speak, right? Like
Right,
a lot
right.
of people don't believe that. It, you know, I didn't realize it when I was younger, and nobody really told me that when I, you know, when I was younger, my mother would say, "Don't say things like that." And but I would listen to my mom, and she'd be kind of a really negative too. And I'm like, "Mom, all those years you told me not to say certain things, but you're always like, why is everything happening to me?" Well, you're the one that mentioned the traffic, you know, like you know, things like that, right? It you
Right.
know, a lot of people say, well, that's not always a cause and effect, right? Like realistically, it's just that yes, not everything is d exactly down to that, but reality is we all are on wavelengths, right? So or if your energy, then you're going to create that reality around you, and you're going to feel other people's around you also. I think that's become a
I
huge part
think
of it.
it yeah. And also when we cast our spells, we're very, very cautious on the wording that we use as well, because we want to make sure that we're doing harm to none. And
Okay.
we also follow the threefold law, where it can come back to you three times. So that is part of our ethics.
Really?
That's very important. So
Wow, one
we
isn't
do
enough, huh?
not. In the Cabot tradition, we never wish anyone harm. We will go into protection and protect self.
Okay.
And then we look back to the threefold law because we understand that if we were to wish harm on someone else, it will come back to us three times.
Wow.
So we are very specific in protection and honoring self to care for us. And then we go into wishing them light and somewhere else.
So,
Right. Yeah.
Leah, let me ask you then. So, is it almost like a karmic situation, right?
We can't, yes, absolutely. With that law behind it, of where it's not within us, it's more of us taking care of ourselves. That's why we do the protection. Then there's also, we picture in the Cabot tradition, I neutralize that thought with a white X in our mind. We have the third eye that we go up to, which we'll be talking about as well.
Yes.
And we envision that white X right in the front, and we just say, I neutralize that thought. So Cabots will say that quite often if they are together or they're with others, that we hear that conversation within our circle. We will say, I neutralize that thought
That's
right
interesting.
away to break that vibration.
That's really interesting. And what I'm hearing when a lot of this so far, just so far, you hear in so many other traditions as well, right? It just other re religions, other just different words, different ways to create this movement of energy, just the way to protect ourselves, right? Because I've been told again some little that I've had people tell me you're protected because I speak to my spirit guides and I speak to my angels and I do the things to keep me and my kids and my family protected, right? And I believe that, right? Like I come in my house, you don't feel anything in my house because I make sure that my house and my kids are protected, right? And also, so when I hear what you're saying to me, it's very, like I said, it's very karmic because I always say, listen, a lot of us don't do things, most of us don't do things on purpose to hurt other people, right? Things happen, life happens, we do things, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I always say karma sometimes is instant, like someone will fall down the stairs or trip, and you're like, oh, Karma was that quick. Other times it could be lifetimes, you know, when you just or someone's kids or things like that. So when I hear this, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. It's like you kind of wishing this negative on someone else. Well, it's at some point going to come back to you if you don't do the right things to protect it from doing that.
Yeah, and I've had other witches come to me and say, you know, I wanna do something to get back at an ex, and I'll be like, no, you don't. You do not want to do that, because you just don't want that energy to come back to you three times worse. And I say the universe will take care of it in its own time.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it did.
I've seen it personally. It's true. It's really true. I think some of us just don't have the patience, right? You're like, listen, I want to,
Yeah,
you know,
you want it
I
instant.
want to turn his thingy green, you know, those kind of things. And you're like, you know what? He may end up doing it himself if he keeps up the way he's going anyway, right? So.
If you just have the trust, I guess it's like people say, stay in your lane. If you trust in your own spirit guides and your own protection lane, for lack of better description, you're going to be taken care of.
Yeah, agreed completely. And again, we learn about that. I was raised Catholic. That something that's we talk about in the Catholic tradition. You know what I mean? Like it never fails. Catholic, Christians, Islams, there's all just to obviously just to name a couple, but there's all that version. So actually speaking of that, then is this because I know that you call Laurie Cabot Reverend Mother, right? Am I correct about that? It's Reverend Mother, right? So is this considered? Like, do you consider this a religion? Now, don't get me wrong. I know some people say like there's, and I'm not comparing the two, but I'm just saying for extremes, like you see people who are like Satanists, right? And they say, well, it's just a religion. Okay, well, to each his own, right? So Scientology, not a fan. However, to people, that's a religion. So is this, do you consider, even personally, do you consider it a religion? And if it is a religion to you, do you practice it alongside other religions?
So, witchcraft is a religion. It was during that movie that came out, I want to say The Witches of Eastwick,
Oh, good
where
movie.
she did not like how the witches were portrayed
Oh, it was terrifying.
in
Good
that
movie, but
movie.
terrifying. Sorry. Continue.
And she fought long and hard to put out laws to protect witches, put out a law memorandum. Witchcraft is a religion in the United States. It is recognized in the branches of the military.
Okay.
Witches are entitled to the same rights and protections as other groups under the First and 14th Amendments.
Wow.
And this was because of Laurie Cabot.
Wow. So she was almost like in Congress in a way. I would assume only because, you know, when you're changing any kind of things like that, you know, military wise and stuff, you know, but I can't imagine. Listen, you'd be surprised the amount of people in Jelly Roll was just there the other day in Congress. You never know.
We also are allowed to carry all our tools with us as long as we carry them together. That's by law that we are, because we do have different tools that people can say, what is this, and cause a discrimination. And they're not allowed to do that if as long as we have them all together and we carry our card that says that we are part of the Cabot tradition.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So as long as we carry our card and we have all our tools together, we can tell them that is for our practice and our altar space, so they cannot discriminate against us or take them away by law.
That's amazing. So in that sense then, tell me what kind of rituals, traditions, what might you need, you know, to travel with, I guess. Is it just that when you have something like you're actually going to do something, or would you just like have it in your trunk, like a survival kit?
We use an athame, which is a ritual knife, a ritual dagger. We don't use this to slice open hands and drink blood or anything like that.
I wouldn't think so, but good to mention that.
Yeah. So Leah said this is to worship the gods and goddesses. And literally all we do is we point it up to the sky and then we dip it down into the spring water in our chalice and we stir it three times and we place it back down. That's
Wow.
literally part of our ritual.
So more symbolic.
Yes.
Okay.
We use a wand
which is an extension of our hand. We charge our wands. When you get a new wand, you can charge it. You can charge it anytime you want. That was amazing. So when we say we charge it, it's to remove any of the vibration as well as the energies that come with it from forth, right? And then when we do it, we start from the middle and then work our way out. Once we cleanse both ends of it, when you pick up the wand, you will feel the energy at the end of the wand. Then you know the item is charged.
Wow.
Yeah. So you actually point it to your hand and you feel if there's cold air. If there is cold air at that time, you charged it appropriately and you're ready to perform your magic. So her wand actually has a crystal on the end.
Wow.
My wand that I have is actually one of the branches from the large tree that was in Salem that Lori happened to collect, and she finished it and had attach some things to it. And so I actually, when I back in 2009, she happened to have some at her store that she created, and I wanted it because I was working with her in person at the time. So
That's
I
really
still
cool.
have it.
That's
Yeah,
really
I still
cool.
have it.
So when we cast a circle, we draw in the corners, and then when we close the circle, close it counterclockwise.
So what would you use just for example, like a wand for? Is it just for like you were just saying, although I don't
So
necessarily know what that means either, close, open and close circle, but yeah, and what would you use it for?
it's just an extension of you.
And it's also the protection of casting the circle so that we can start to drop in and go into when our spells that we're actually
Oh,
creating as well.
okay. Very interesting.
So when you're casting a circle, it's a bubble, so to speak, of
Okay.
energy. And some traditions allow you to make a door. Our tradition, you're not allowed to leave the circle once it's cast. So once you cast that circle, you have to stay in that circle until we open it again,
So it's
because
as
you
if
don't want to
you,
break,
no,
you
go
don't
ahead,
want to break
please.
the energy. You don't want to break the energy. So,
So
and
it's
you,
as if you're creating this protection, I guess,
yes.
around the person or the entity that you are performing this ritual or tradition on.
It's actually a sacred circle is what we do. So we set up our altar and then we begin. We always start with the corners and we're drawing them in, and we're actually going clockwise, right? And we're going around
Right.
three times.
Yeah, we cast the circle anytime we do a spell.
And it gives us that sacred space as well as that safe space so that we're in that clearing the energy so that our spell is to the highest good and harm none, right? As well. That's the most important part because we want to, in our craft, we make sure that we're in that space that we don't have any of that other energy coming in and that we're bringing that energy and intent pure as we can into the space to create the spell to also give it back to the universe.
So would you consider it like what we would call white light energy?
I would
And
say it's white. We don't do black, but we don't actually call it white light.
yeah, we
We
don't call it white light,
but it is. We don't ever do dark because we don't harm anyone. So that's important for people to know, because a lot of times we'll hear, "Oh, are you doing black magic?" And we say, "No, we're
not
not."
even like a thought in our tradition. You know, everyone's very positive. Everyone uplifts everyone else. And think about witchcraft one, when we begin, it's about improving your self-esteem and self-worth. Right.
That's where you come in as.
Right.
And it is focused as a science that you work on self.
Yeah.
That's why you empower self to start to move through these different parts, where then we empower self when we do self-esteem and self-worth, and then into alpha. And that's what we learn in Witchcraft One. So I think it's very important to bring this up because this is the power of the mind, as well as how we create the power of the mind, the action, and the vibration to bring us through this alpha meditation that allows us to go deeper to start to work with our magic. So I don't know if you want to speak on that too.
Absolutely. Leah does have a point. I'll give you an example. When I did Witchcraft One, our test to pass Witchcraft One is to do a health case where you have to go into alpha, get a person on the screen of your mind's eye, and describe them, diagnose a physical ailment. I strongly believe that I did not pass
because I did not show self-confidence before I went in,
That makes sense. Yeah.
because I did get the person on the screen and I did get their ailment. But before I went in, I said, please send me pink healing light. I need all the help I can get, and I need all the self-confidence I can get. So I strongly believe that because I put that off, they said, she's not confident enough. We're not going to pass her this time. I did a lot of work on myself. And to be an effective witch, you have to have the self-esteem, the self-confidence, the self-power within first
I believe that. I believe that a lot with
before you
everything.
can.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel that witchcraft has made me such a better person.
And
And I'm going
anything that's make you, that makes you look inside, that
Yes.
makes you do the that self audit.
Yes.
You know, I mentioned that in an episode with Jose. I was like, we take an internal audit. Anything that challenge our preconceived notions of ourselves, of our thoughts, of our upbringings, all of that, it's going to positively, hopefully positively, if once you come through it, positively affect your confidence and your self-empowerment, right? Which would make you, I assume, a better witch in that sense. It makes you a better person, if nothing else.
Right. And there's a very specific way to go into alphabet in the Cabot tradition where Lori actually counts us down with different colors and numbers. So what she calls is the crystal countdown, that
Wow.
she actually has us envision the color and the light as she counts us down to get to where we need to get to this deeper side of meditation. We also do a health clearance for ourselves so that if we go in to pull the individual up on the screen, if we're doing health cases in the third eye, we do not carry the vibration or the feeling or whatever they are going through. So once we come back out and they count us back up, or whoever is working with you, or you doing yourself, you will have to do total health clearance, and it goes over your crown, in front of your face, and then away from your body. And this is with your hand.
That makes sense. So clear,
You
cleansing
push
and
it out
clearing
away.
yourself. Yeah,
It's
cleansing and
literally
clearing
cleansing
yourself
yourself.
of that
And
whatever
you,
energy it is, whatever that feeling is. So you don't take it on and keep and hold on to
and you must state, I give total health clearance to myself, because when I tested again, I was actually that person for that brief moment.
Oh,
The
yeah.
woman testing me said, you actually wiped your brow like the person, I don't want to say his name, but you did this, and he does that all the time. And I was sweating profusely.
Wow.
And you had him. So you can take on that person for that time being. So you want to make sure you get all that energy out.
That's pretty hefty. That's pretty deep, actually. So
And
explain to me.
that's the scientific part of it.
Is
So
it?
that's why it's so powerful to remind yourself it's witchcraft as the science, and that's what Lori has installed in us and had us to understand and believe. So we really practice in the scientific manner to better serve ourselves, serve others, as well as walk through life.
Is it considered a recognized science?
I would say alpha is. Alpha is, yes. I would say a lot of the alchemy
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Yeah.
has been proved, what she teaches, and physics, if you think about
Exactly.
quantum physics.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And I can remember her saying in one of the classes, because I did my class virtually, and she pops in and out of the classes. But I remember her saying, what I've been teaching for 50 years, the scientists are now just proven. And that sat with me, and it still sits with me. And I was in awe. Even though I knew it and I read it in her books, when she said it, it just sits with me so well.
You know how it is with anything, right? Regardless of how much you can prove something, unless somebody can see or feel something tangible, there's it's comes out as pseudo, right? No matter what it is. And we're talking even religion, right? If you can't see something, it's all about that faith. It's about faith in any direction. It's having that faith
Absolutely.
that you're doing something legitimate. And if some people sometimes can't see it, feel it, hold something, it doesn't count. I explained that to my son the other day. He was like, I was giving him the quote unquote lecture on faith, actually, and trying to explain that to a 7-year-old, because we say our prayers every night, and I tell him to, and don't ask for things in your prayers. You say you're thankful for what you have and you're grateful for it, because guess what? That's how you continue with that. You say, listen, I'm grateful. Not I want, I want, I want. And he says, well, how do I know anything's ever going to happen? And I said, well, it's not all going to happen at the same time, and bad things do happen to good people because that's life. But I said, think about the wind. The best way is to think about the wind. You can't see it, but you feel its effects. You know it's doing something. You know when your soul is doing something, you feel it on your skin, right? It's blowing you. It's doing whatever it needs to. I said, that's the same thing with faith. And when hearing you speak of that, it's to me, it's the same idea. It's having the faith that what you're doing, it may not have always something, always, may not always have something tangible, but it's now being caught up. People are actually starting to realize that this stuff that we are all, I always say, like Neil deGrasse Tyson says, we're all stardust, right? We're all movement, we're all energy. And the older I get, the more I believe it. And I think now, hopefully, science is starting to come with that. Like, even with physics, it's becoming a situation where, like, oh yeah, we are kind of all, we were created from stardust, and it's all about having faith in how you represent that, I think. And I think this is really, really cool. Can you ladies, either of you or both of you, however you want, explain to me your third eye, or the third eye?
So the third eye is your pineal gland. When we do drop into third eye, so let's talk about how when we're taught and they want us to go into the countdown. They make it very simple. They talk about an apple. So literally, when we have you close your eyes, we are going to take you through a meditation. We will guide you and lead you. You will start to envision what we are speaking. Right. So you envision the color, you envision the crystal countdown. When we ask you to get into your third eye, it's closing your eyes are closed, but you actually are envisioning a screen on the front part of your mind. So your eyes are closed and you're actually bringing up a screen. And it's a way of looking where it's almost like you are actually looking, but you're not. Your eyes are closed, but we're asking you to get to your screen. And when we lead you through that meditation, we are going to ask you to pull up an apple. So when we are put through this deep meditation and we're working on the screen, and we talk about that as the third eye, you can actually envision when you drop in that deep through alpha. You can envision the color of the apple, the shape of the apple. While it's happening, the individuals that are in the meditation will put their hands up and actually move the apple different ways,
Wow.
actually hold it, touch it. We actually ask them what color it is, what shape it is it smooth? And you will be able to, after your walk through that meditation, that's how we activate that third eye. So it's literally having your eyes closed, but pulling a screen on your mind to pull up. That's the same thing as when we talk about that screen for a health case. We're
Right.
pulling them up on the third eye to see it. If you can, once you utilize the master alpha, the main overall that Lori talks about is releasing control and letting go is the key to alpha. If you cannot release control and let go, that's where you get stopped and you can't get deep into alpha. Once you learn that and you practice over and over again, like my girl here, that is now a pro that can drop in. Once you can and you get it and the mind gets comfortable because it's a muscle that you're
Of
actually
course.
utilizing,
And
right?
exercising, right?
Just like meditation, but it's a different one. The more you utilize it, the faster you go in and out, and you can count down and get in fast and be able to get back out fast. But in the beginning, it may take you a little while to get there.
She drops in without the countdown.
I don't do the countdown anymore,
but I did.
I have heard Lori state that with the countdown, it's an automatic, I want to say reflex, that your eyes kind of roll up. So you're not looking with your eyes closed straight ahead. Your eyes kind of just naturally roll up. to look at your pineal gland.
You know, so I'm hearing you say these things. I don't mean to cut you off on
what. No, no, that's fine. Well,
the two things came to my mind as, again, as analogies, because, you know, sometimes some of the stuff is hard for some people to grasp. But as you're speaking, two things came to my mind. When it comes to the what you were talking about, the mind's eye, what really the first thing that came to me was, and this is so elementary, but it's crazy that it kind of hit me. Remember back in the 90s when we had those magic eye posters?
Yes.
And those are the ones that were printed. And they used to tell
They
used to tell you, relax into it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you relax into it, you'd see. You
it's a 3D
the picture. It's a 3D painting or a picture.
Yeah. Okay.
They're printed out.
Okay.
And it looks like nothing when you see it. Like when
you have to let your eyes go out of focus.
You have to let your eyes go out of focus. And people would struggle and struggle. But the second you just relaxed yourself, relaxed into it, boom, you'd have an entire 3D picture. And the more you did it, the easier it got. Like right now, to this day, I can still look at 1 or 2 seconds and I can see a picture. And that's just kind of, that's what you made me think about with the mind's eye. I do not remember at all the other one I was going to say that you were mentioning about the eyes rolling back. That's so crazy. It'll hit me for no reason a whole nother time. But that really, when I think about certain things that you're talking about, I'm able to kind of relate it to other things, because sometimes, you know, none of this is difficult concepts. But again, I think some people like to steer clear from the ideas of it because it sounds almost scary, right? It sounds like, wow, someone can drop into this meditative state without even, people are scared of meditation. Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Meditation scares people.
Take practice.
Most of us just can't clear. You know, and you get in it for 5 minutes, you're like, 5 minutes, that is the longest time ever. We're just sitting there like, I got laundry to do. I don't have time for this. You know, things like that, right?
Yeah.
And it does. It's like a muscle, like everything else. You have to practice it.
I practiced long and hard, she'll tell you.
So I want to bring that up for the audience, because I think it's very important to talk about, because Jill would come to me before becoming a Cabot One, and she would say, you're crazy, girl. I'm not going to be able to quiet my mind. I'm too busy. I have things going on. I can't do it. Then when she started reading and she was enticed, she kept saying to me, I can't quiet my mind. I can't do this. I can't meditate. I don't know how you do it. How do you stop? She is walking proven fact. If you put your mind to it and you start practicing, that quiet mind will be pulled away over and over again, but you continue to do it. The muscle needs to pull away. And you need to say to yourself, okay, I'm over here thinking about laundry. Let me come back now. And I'm going to keep going.
Just set it aside.
And you come back.
Let me just put that away and just come back to it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Teresa, we work at the same place. I would get to the parking lot 10 minutes early and I would just sit and meditate. I would go out to my car for an hour at lunchtime to my car and sit and meditate. If someone tells me they can't meditate, my mind goes different directions, I say bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I am walking proof that you can do it. You just need time to practice. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, start somewhere, because it is amazing what your mind can do. We don't even tap into
its
full potential.
Of course.
And once you tap into that, I'm still amazed what I see and what we connect.
We just did it right before we came on.
We connected. We went into Alpha to come up with a name for this oil. And we wrote down when we were in Alpha and we came out at the same time. We didn't tell each other we were coming out of Alpha. We came out, and even though we wrote down five different words, they were connected somehow.
So it's like you're on a different mental plane then, right? It's like you're just accessing a different mental plane.
Absolutely. Yeah. A different mental plane. That's also where we can go in and meet spirit guides. It takes work. So if anyone listening to this, it does take work. But when you believe in your heart and you have the passion and this is a calling for you, it's not for everyone.
Right.
If it is a calling for you, I mean, I knew from a little girl it was a calling for me. I knew that. I went through a long journey of a lot of different things that we probably don't have time for, but I knew it was a calling for me, and I knew that this is what I wanted. And what I will bring up is when a student is ready, a teacher appears. That was told to me by Lori when I was in my early 20s. So when I had gone to Salem, didn't know anything, didn't know where I was going, just went. I happened to come to a store and they're like, oh, did you see Lori today? And I'm like, who's that? They're like, you don't know who Lori is? No. I saw her beautiful chair. I saw her desk. I saw everything. And they're like, oh, if you see anyone walking around in a big, long black cape, that's Lori. And I was like, oh, I didn't know, right? So I'm just walking in and out of stores and talking to people and stuff like that. Long and behold, I come back to the store. There she is. And it was like, and she goes, my dear, when a student is ready, a teacher appears.
She's amazing.
And we sat and talked and talked and talked. And
I was just like, I couldn't even believe it. I was just like speechless at that time. So it was so beautiful. Anyway, I had met her again. She did a reading. I met her again when I was in Salem. And then it was like back then when I had met her, she didn't have this setup like this. She didn't have the craft one and craft two and all that in the beginning, early stages. It took me some time. And then further, a few years later, all of a sudden, what, 2008, I guess, she was out of her, she used to have a store, the Pro in the Haven, and I had seen her there. And then she let the store go and someone else took it over. And then she was at Enchanted now, which she's in now, where Jill happened to go to. And then she started Witchcraft 1 and 2 in person, though, at the store. I actually stayed in Salem for 2 weeks straight. And wow. Was able to go back and forth. I stayed 1 week and then left and then did. So I did Witchcraft 1 and then Witchcraft 2. But I actually stayed, lived it, breathed it, just really put all my energy there. And I knew. I was like, when I was there, it's home to me. Like, I feel very connected in Salem. Very connected.
Do you think that connection has anything to do with, because I believe in past lives. I look at people and I say, they are not new. I know I am not new. I don't know how many times I've been around the sun, but I know I'm not new. I've been saying, my mom's always said that too. So you can always kind of tell when someone is new. So Does you think that comfort, that home feeling was something, and maybe for you as well, Jill, that it just, you may not have always known, but when you feel that you come home, that is because you've been there before.
Yeah. I did a crystal countdown with one of the high priestess and our priest, and I had seen myself foraging in the woods in a peasant outfit. Wow. And I said, and I had a basket and I was foraging in the woods. And then I was in a home that was all stone by a fireplace and I was knitting. And I don't know when or what time, but it definitely was primitive for sure. So I'm like, was it out in Salem? Because when I go there, I am so comfortable. It's like, I really don't want to leave. If it wasn't so cold, I'd probably live there.
Oh, and we think it's cold here. We think it's cold here.
Yeah, ooh, but it's very cold there. In October, It could be a blizzard. I don't
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Lori taught us instant alpha, which is alpha. You can drop in the alpha without closing your eyes because you can use alpha to get something like parking spaces.
To get parking spaces.
Yes. So she tells this.
What about
story
lottery tickets?
Right.
Yeah, I know. So go ahead.
You tell.
When I was taking Witchcraft 1, she goes, oh, and if you ever, when we were, she was saying, go into instant alpha, you cross your fingers and then we charge them. And then that brings us into instant alpha. Okay. So there's a way to drop in instantly and have your fingers crossed and then chant. So she goes, oh, I'd be with all my girlfriends and we couldn't find parking spaces and we were going somewhere. So I just say, squat, squat, I need a parking spot.
There were three witches
in the car. So she
sounds like a setup for a joke.
So they chant, squat, squat, I need a parking spot. They all went into instant alpha with their fingers crossed. And long and behold, they get the parking spot.
And they three. Three. Because all three witches did instant alpha. So three spots were open.
Right. So now let's fast forward.
Well, wait a minute. I want to make this clear for the audience. If you ever do instant alpha, you never want to ask a car to leave right then and there, because you don't want that person to rush out of the spot and get into a car. You're asking specifically for an open parking spot. So you have to, again, be very careful with your words.
Right.
Very intentional, but purposely intentional for what? But
yes.
Like so it's really, really purposely.
Harm, yeah. Do what thee will, but harm none. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to this past Halloween, we were in the, what's it called?
Terrytown.
Terrytown, Sleepy Hollow Parade. As witches. As ourselves. And we were meeting my husband there, and there was no parking spaces. I said, there were hundreds of thousands of people. So we're driving. We drove all the way through the town. I don't even know where we were at that point. And she's going squat, squatting, squat. And I'm driving with our like this. And all
with
of a sudden,
our fingers crossed,
this person just leaves. And there's a spot. We didn't get two spots, but we got one. That's all we needed.
So like so instant it, manifestation almost, right?
Yeah. And she did it recently when we went to the Ren for Yule.
So we go to this place called the Ren the Raven.
That's in Denville. It's an amazing shop owned by this girl, Molly, that is absolutely amazing. So we'll give a shout out to her.
Yes.
And she has a beautiful circle that she has at once a month.
Yeah. Community.
And so we were going to celebrate the Sabbath, Yule. And so I called Jill and I said, are you there yet? Because her and I had some special gifts for everyone that was attending. And she's like, yeah, but there's no spots. I go, really? Okay. So I go right into Instant Alpha, squat, squat. I need a parking spot. I pull up and the spot is right in front of the door. And she's telling me there's no spot. I'm like, she's like, where did you park? I was going to help you. I go, no. Instant Alpha. Lori was there. I'm like, I got it.
So in a way, it's kind of like navigating this balance between traditional cabin witchcraft and then how you use it in your daily life, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We do both and we actually utilize it in our daily life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would be another example? Because you got me thinking about parking spots now. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like I said, I always laugh and say, was raised with her saying, oh my gosh, I see this, I see that. Where are the six numbers? You know? And so that became kind of my joke. I'm like, oh yeah, you can send me a dream with all this stuff in it. Where are the six numbers? You know, like kind of like a joke. So what might be, if you could think of one, another example of maybe where you could utilize traditional cabin practices with more modern ones, maybe, or your own interpretation of one and use it in your daily life.
Oh, well, and your food. You know, we put positive intention in everything we eat and when we're cooking.
I do it in my morning coffee. Mm-hmm. I will do that when I start to do, once the coffee's brewed and then I'm going to add in the milk, I froth it and then I will pour it, but then I will do a chant or anything that I want to bring in through the day. And I will actually stir clockwise as I'm doing it. So I'll drop into an instant alpha. I'll bring in what my intention is for the day and I'll actually stir clockwise. And then I will sit quietly and drink it and just envision whatever light I want to bring in within myself for the day. So if I want to envision, like if I want to be able to communicate with spirit, I'll bring in different colors, a lot of golden light. I do that because if I'm working with the divine, I like to bring in golden light a lot. And then it depends. If it's going to be a tough day, I might put in different colors. Like, do I need pink light to make sure that it is compassion that I'm delivering at work, you know, with different things. So it just depends on what I'm looking to ask within my day and the intention.
That's very interesting because I learned a manifestation technique that I've tried, you know, over years. You know, you try different things, just again, speaking things out and writing things out. And, you know, I've never been the one to write something 52 times, three times a day. I don't have time for that stuff. I'm like, I'm going to speak it out in the universe, my intentions, how many times a day I speak, and if it's meant for me, it's meant for me, right? That's kind of like my thought, you know? And one that you just said with your coffee made me think of one of the techniques they say is to even just a glass of water. Speak your intention in it and drink it. Mm-hmm. And at first when I
heard that, I thought that was so weird. I'm like, what would, how? But it's kind of just like that infusion, you know what I mean, of mm-hmm. that life force, right? Because like something yes. like, you know, water is like a life force, you know, and it kind of, and I thought that was really interesting that you said that even your coffee, anything mm-hmm. that's sustaining you, anything that's keeping you sustained, we'll say, I guess. I think that's really interesting, because it's not necessarily, you know, I heard of it as a manifestation, quote unquote, technique, but it's kind of along the same lines as you're mm-hmm. just speaking your intentions for the day.
And I bet it tastes better too.
Oh, I'll be doing that in my coffee from now on.
Well, it brings you back to that mindfulness, right? And it gives you a moment to just be with one and be with yourself and just bring in that positive energy to start the day. Mm-hmm. And it also grounds you. That's very, very grounding yes. because when you sit quietly and you do envision the intention mm-hmm. and you are drinking it and you're closing your eyes, and if you can bring in any sort of soothing light within self, what type of light do you want to draw in, and what type of light do you feel you need for the day as well, depending on what you're going to be going for? You know,
my daily routine is with my crystal oracle cards. I ask for my spirit guides to give me loving and wise guidance every day. And I have to say it out loud, because that's the way I was taught. If you say it within your mind, it's not as effective. You got to say it out loud. Feet are flat on the floor. I'm sitting in quiet stillness. And I just ask for loving and wise guidance. I tell them I'm open. I hear them. I'm listening. And I just drop in for a few moments. Just have my few moments for the day. And then just go on my merry way. Marry me, marry part, and marry me again, right?
Yeah. How do you know that you're in alpha? I think that's what you've been saying.
Sometimes you don't know. You just have intuition, I guess.
When I drop in, I actually open up the third eye. And when I can get to a point where I start to see light and colors, I know I'm in. So I do a lot of where I'll go in deep. And then once I can get up to the screen and I start to see some movement and light and colors, that's when I begin to communicate with also the divine.
And see, for me, I don't see so much as like, I get like, I kind of hear. I hear and I...
So it's like, are you clairvoyant?
Yeah,
are
you, it's all the clairs, you know?
All the clairs. So it. She can hear the auditory where I have the visual with the auditory. So I did an automatic writing just recently. I should have brought it. Remember I read it to you? So I dropped in with spirit and I had done the automatic. You have it actually. Mm-hmm. So, well, I actually sent it to her. So I had dropped in alpha and then I just envisioned my screen. And then I called in my spirit guides and I said, whoever is present, who is coming forward for only the highest good for myself and for all. Because I always say that so that I make sure I'm protected. And I am also drawing in the appropriate guides that because you don't know who you're drawing in at the time. And if right. you're just drawing in, you could draw in anyone, you know?
Exactly.
So I will share with the audience what my automatic writing was, because when Jill had heard it, she's like, whoever was speaking to you, this is amazing.
And I said, that's not her talking, because I've known her for so many years and I know her like she's my sister, and it's not her.
So
not to say that she wouldn't write something so sophisticated, but this is really sophisticated.
So I had lit a candle, I had dropped in, and I just did some focus with the candle work, and it was 8:05 at night, and it was on the 10th of February. So here is the message, and even the writing is different because this isn't my writing either. Dearest one, I ask for your sacred heart to be one. I call upon you to be present in this space. I seek your wisdom to be aware of self in higher power than yours, to show up for self and others. Seek wisdom and you shall be heard. We are here to guide you, to guide and support. Release and let go your worries. Take pleasure in the presence of others and in solitude. Speak and you shall be heard. We are here. We are with you. Shine bright, loved one.
Wow. Now, can I say something? that you just floored me about something. And there's a little background. You said that was February 10th, right?
Yes.
That is my long deceased grandmother's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the past 4 months, I've heard and seen her birthday everywhere. And just the other day, I was having a full-on conversation with her with my little white candle, wanting to know what it is that she wanted to tell me. Ooh. So the fact that you said that that was even February 10th, I was like, there's another sign. Hey, that was
her. She wanted you to know that.
Yeah, she wanted to know. I'm here. That like literally made the hair on my arm stand up. That's crazy.
Yeah.
She's telling you to shine bright too. See? That's
crazy.
And so, that I told you the time and the date. Does the time ring anything with you? 8:05.
I thought about it. It's funny you say that because I actually thought about it. I was like, wait, I thought you said 8:01, but 8:05. I don't necessarily know that listen, for all I know, my mother will say that's her birth time or something crazy. I have no idea.
Right?
That's crazy. That I don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe if I broke it down or something, or if I thought about it. But while you were speaking, I was listening to it. I was kind of like, wait, does the time? And I'm like, I'm trying to think back to even February 10th, the date that was last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what was I doing at 8:05? You know, and I was actually watching the Knicks game. So I don't know that was anything significant, you know, in that case. But I'm actually going to think about it because now I'm kind of curious because that just, and I don't know if you could even see my face. I mean, I know you were reading it, but like.
I saw her face. She was smiling.
Just like.
Her face lit up.
Yeah, because it blew my mind. And the whole, just the end part too, with like, just know that we're here. And I'm like, I know they were talking to you, but hearing the date, I'm like, holy crap. I feel like it was messaging toward me too. Because
she read it for a reason. I read it for a reason because I didn't even think to bring that up or bring it with me. And then I sent the picture and she had it. So you were supposed to hear the message. So
there you go.
We always say there are no coincidences.
There are no coincidences. There's a reason. That's right.
There's a reason. So that's you were supposed to hear that.
That's
unbelievable.
Look at that. Live on the air. My brain is about to ooze out my ear.
But I find that so beautiful. And after you had told me that, I felt this warmth just come right over me. I could feel that warm energy of like that connection.
That's my Willa Jay. That's her. She's been trying to talk to me every single time over the past, how old am I since she passed? She passed in 2003, I believe, or 2002. Mm. And I remember for a long time, years later, for about 2 years, she kept trying to get in touch with me. And I just wasn't listening until it got stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like, okay, then you can't ignore it anymore. And once I was able to get what I needed and what she needed to tell me, it stopped. And then just recently, the past couple months again,
she's trying to tell you.
And I just had the conversation with my mother this week about that. I said, "Mom, Abuela, this is her mother." I said, "It's trying because it's short for Abuela, so we call her Abuela." We would say I'm like, she's trying to tell me something. She's like, "You know what to do? Light the candle, talk to her, state your intentions, tell her to come to you, tell her not to scare you." You know, because I'm always like, I don't want nobody popping up at me. But you know, I was like, dreams, I'm good with. Go with the dreams. You know, those kind of things. So that really just. That just blew my mind. That's insane. It's not insane, but it's insane. You know, like it's for people that don't always grasp it or believe it. I know there's no coincidences and it still blew my mind. And that actually will lead me to my next question, which is, again, I'm like sitting here like it's crazy, but it's not. So in your practice then, what role does community play? Meaning like, what is it that you would do on a daily, how would you utilize and use your practices on a daily basis within the Cabot community or just the community as a whole?
Well, we're very active in helping others. So if there's any sort of organizations that give back to the community, that is really the Cabot tradition. So it really, they will say to us, are you helping your community and how are you giving back as well? I happen to be connected within that field of giving out to others. So I do that quite often. I will also work with close family and friends because at times family members that have passed, just like how what happened with you here right now organically.
Yes.
I happen to have an openness that there's certain family members through my,
I would say in my social. A picture of my brother just popped up on my past, my brother that passed just popped up.
Wow.
See, because I'll bring in spirit and I don't know who I'm bringing in. And as I'm talking,
he wanted to come by. Did you see that?
Yes. He just came up across the screen.
That was my brother.
So I was just about to say, he has called in to her, and I told her about birthday candles and a red shirt, and she's like, what? And I'm like, look for the red shirt, and you need the birthday candles for your daughter, and it was her brother. And then all of a sudden he just pops through right now. So I will tell you that I feel I'm giving back a lot all the time.
That's
working. So if you needed an example, there you go.
Yeah, like that's a lot of energy flow.
Yeah, a lot. The Cabots also have a private Facebook page where you can only be a part of it if you are a Cabot witch.
Yes.
And we can request healing on that page. We need to know the name, the first and last name, the age, and the city and state. And the Cabots will send healing light to that person.
I was going to ask you if you're able to help with, I mean, I know you had mentioned one time you helped with, when you had did it, we'll actually go into that in a second, but when you had done my chakra balancing, one of the things you had asked specifically to me was, do you have any physical ailments? And I had told you that I had messed up. I had pulled slipped a disc in my shoulder and I was healing from that. And you had mentioned that you had helped with our friend's headache. And that was the only thing we had talked about. It wasn't like any, yes, even like mental or any other heartbreak or anything. It was more physical. So it does, it helps with physical healing as well. Correct.
Yes. We don't like to do mental. There's a reason.
No. Well, because you don't want to take power and give power to someone else. So it's not where we will never go in and do that mental clearance, because what we're doing is that's taking away free will, right?
Makes sense.
And we do not want to place control against someone's free will. That goes right back to like someone saying, can you cast a spell on someone because I want them out of my life, or I want to hurt them, or I want to do something.
I want them to love me.
Right. Or love me. Because you're asking to overpower free will, and we don't want to do that.
So it has to be something physically wrong.
Can I ask you a question? Of course I can. But I'm going to ask you a question. Now I'm curious. You said something, and that made me think about this. So not being able to force, I guess, is what I'm thinking, or mentally, are you able to use energy? And I've experienced this myself where I can maybe, I'm going to use the word project for lack of a better term at this point, kind of project into like somebody's thoughts trying to get them to see that they should do something for themselves. For example, if someone needs healing, like really bad healing, but they're just not, or they've got a vice that they need to, and you're saying, listen, people talk to them all the time. You can have an intervention, and people, you know what I mean? And people, they're just not getting it, right? But you're kind of like using your mind to kind of send that thought. Cause sometimes, you know, you're not telling them to do it. You're not making them do it, but kind of making them think about it, you know, maybe do some kind of internal thinking about it. It might make sense.
I think that's still messing with free will.
That's still the free will. So we wouldn't do that, but we would send healing light. So if they need to find a way to help them, for example, substance abuse, we may send healing light to them to help them within themselves, but we will not send something to change their free will of mind. We wouldn't do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So is this something that then you practice on a daily basis? Is it just for every moment of your life, or is it just kind of like you kind of jump in and out, or, you know, for you, Leah, is it like kind of like you could be around someone, all of a sudden someone's trying to talk to you and you're like, all right, I got it. I'll give the message kind of thing.
It's the oddest thing, because for me, like I could just be in my house and all of a sudden something pops into my head with a name. So like I got Yellow Ribbon. And I was told to tell my friend Ashley Yellow Ribbon. And this was like at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And I'm like, what the heck? Yellow Ribbon, Ashley, what are you talking about? So I text my friend Ashley and I send Yellow Ribbon. we get together at Yule celebration. She was like in tears, and she's like, that's my friend who passed. Yellow ribbon was around her bouquet of flowers when she got married. Wow. And and she's like, and yellow ribbon is always her sign to let me know that someone that she's around. And so for me, it happens like that, where it'll just, I can't even control it, and it'll just come in. And then other days it won't be anything. Do I use it in my daily practice? I feel I utilize in my daily practice where I will drop in and do the cards and find direction and intention for myself as well, protection, light. And I have my own ritual that I do in the morning, just like Jill has her ritual that she does in the morning. And it also keeps us, we're blessed to have each other, because that strengthens our practice in the craft. Because yeah. When I became a Cabot, I didn't have a community to work with. There were individuals that were in it. They were in Massachusetts. They were in New Hampshire. I mean, people came from all over the country to come to practice with Lori Cabot when I was there. They were all over. So after we were done, we didn't have like the internet and communication like that in 2009. Where we were, I mean, we had the internet, but we weren't like on, I don't even think Facebook was there then. So there was no way of communicating. Like
not in
that.
The way, not in the way it is today. But no. It was more MySpace. No. It was more MySpace actually in 2009.
And we never used MySpace as witches. We didn't do that. No, no.
And now a lot of times we bounce off of each other. So like if I'm insufficient in one thing, Amy is great at another. So we just, you complete me.
Yeah. So you literally are like the yin and the yang.
Yeah. And you know, even at the Run in the Raven, they're like, you two are like, I can't.
Because we go back and forth, because I may forget something. And then she's like, no, well, what about this? And I'm like, oh yeah. And then she'll go, no, I can't remember the words. And I'll say, it's like that.
Certain rituals, she'll say, no, we have to do it this way. I'm like, yeah, but that, okay. Yeah. And you know, we keep each other in check. And I don't know where it came from or how it, and I tell you, I had a dream one night, and the dream basically said, I can't do anything without her and she can't do anything without me. It was like basically the gist of the dream. So like we're connected somehow.
It was so meant to be.
What we're currently working on right now that we'll share is we are working on figuring out where our bond started. So that is our new path right now that we are with the craft, as well as looking into the past life regression. So there's a lot of work that we're working on to figure out, were we bonded in a different life and how were we bonded, right? And what is the connection that brought us over to here and see, were we mother, daughter? Were we sisters? Yeah. Were we child? Whatever. So it'll be interesting once we can figure out how it happened.
I love that. That's so exciting. It's scary. It scares me a little bit when I think about it, because it's like I say, you know, we have so many, like Jill knows, I have a fear of something around my neck. Mm. And I don't know where that came from.
That's definitely past life.
Yeah. And I always said, I don't know if there was a rope around my neck. I don't know if somebody choked me in another life. Nothing ever happened in this life.
Yeah.
That would make, or that I'd remember. But I mean, something like that, you'd think you'd remember, right?
Right.
And I have no marks or anything around my neck. So I don't always know what it is. But like, if someone comes around me and, you know, just, I kind of freak out, and I have to really trust the person and be in certain scenarios where I say it's okay, where I have to give the consent that it's okay, because if not, I internally freak, like I really freak out, and I don't know where that came from. So that's how I always say, I think there's so many of those things that you kind of, I think I'm like, I'd love to know, but I'm also like, oh, what if I was hanged somewhere? That's scary to find out. You know what I mean? Or that's where my brain goes.
If you do a past life regression with, I'm going to say correct, because correct is always the word that the Cabots like to use. And it's probably the best way to ask for something. A correct person, you will have your answers as to why you don't like anything around your neck. By correct person, I mean someone who knows how to handle a past life regression, past life hypnosis, and what coming out of that is going to mean to you and how you're going to cope with that, what you see.
Yeah, that's the part that scares me.
And address it.
That's the part that always scares me. That I always say that because, you know, there's certain, and there's other things, I mean, I didn't realize might be tied back to past life stuff. You know, there's so many things that we have that just things you've always had or always been, or irrational, seeing things that could seem irrational. You don't realize there might be something deeper from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we are starting to come to the end. I have, when I tell you I've enjoyed this so much, you have no idea. I've learned so much because I did not know. And I didn't know how like, it sounds simple for me to say, but I didn't know how similar so much of this is from what I was raised with and what I know and what I've been honing a little more myself, right? As I've gotten older. And it's just, and I love it. I love that it's out there, and I love that it's being recognized, and I love that it's not kitschy, like they like to say, right? Like it's like it used to be with like Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It was so kitschy, right? Yeah. I used to want to be Sabrina, man, to change my clothes by just pointing my finger. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. If you could teach me that.
Teresa, let me tell you what I'm hearing. An ancestral altar with a candle with the picture of your grandmother. And there's something else. Let me just hear. Who's the C in your life? A C.
C.
Who's the C in your life?
C.
Anyone with the letter C in your life?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. A C, like C, like first name kind of thing. Like a,
it's a C came to me.
I don't know. My mom is.
I saw the letter C, and I saw something with like a rainbow light. Like the letter C was like a, almost like different colors. So it's not giving me gender because there was a lot of different colors. C. Is there anyone with the letter C?
I know there's a C in my mother's name.
I don't know.
I know rainbow. My and ex-mother-in-law was a C name. Huh. You know what's so funny? I'll get out here and be like, oh my God. You know, and I'm just like.
Hey, you let us know. But I'm telling you that is C. But the ancestral altar with your grandmother's picture and candle.
Okay.
And I was told a white candle.
A white candle. Yeah.
I was told a white candle. Okay. So I was told in a corner.
In a corner. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's where I have.
So I was told altars. In a corner with the picture with the white candle. And that's like where you will deliver, like if there's flowers or things that you bring to her. And that's in your aunt. Let me just get the word. Wait. As you seek, the answers will be heard. Deliver the gift and sit and be present and patient.
Be patient. I've been being told that recently, the past like 5 months, constantly everywhere is be patient. See, the only thing
again about- with the warmth, again with the warmth. I'm feeling the warmth through me. So I needed to deliver that to you.
The only thing all of a sudden I could think about with a C is Cueva, C-U-E-V-A, is their last name.
That's your grandmother?
That was her mother's last name, Cueva. That was their side. That was her mother's last name. That was my great-grandmother's last name, Jenny Cueva.
There it is. There's the C.
You know, my mother used to tell me, she told me the other day too, she was like, when you were born and when she was pregnant with me, they came to her more than once and they told her, you're going to have a girl. You're going to name her this. And my mom was like, that's such a long name. It's an old name for a baby. You know, whatever, you know, my name, whatever. And they've always met you. She was like, your grandmother, she's like, from the day you were, she's like obsessed from the day you were born. She was just telling this. She's like, she's like, I'm not surprised that she's with you.
So here's where the validation is that the sea came forward, the ancestral. And you have to have that altar with the white candle and to bring the gift to her, whether it's flowers or whatever.
Yeah. I'll do that. I'm going to work on that with my mom.
In a corner.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. I wasn't even going to end with that. We were going to talk about the chakra balancing, but that is like mundane compared to this. So I am like, woo, like completely like, wow, unbelievable. I have enjoyed this so much, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
I do actually have one more question out of curiosity, maybe my own curiosity, but do you know around in the country, like what the numbers are like for Cabot witches? Like how many are there around?
We can see how many are currently on the Facebook page, but I'm sure there are way more than that
because the tradition started in England. So.
Oh, well, that's a little hard then probably.
Yeah, that we can show you like that are on now because it's a private page. No one can get in.
So right now there are 446 members on the private Facebook group. Okay. You know, again, that could be way more because, right, you know, there are a lot of people not on Facebook. I wasn't on Facebook until this because that's the only...
I know, Facebook is ridiculous.
That's the only medium they go through, so...
Oh my goodness. Ladies, really enlightening and powerful, so much fun and so cool. And I am like... literally with the hair standing up on me, and I'm not surprised, but I'm like you know what, was then what I needed to, because I have been struggling with this thing for a few and trying to understand the messages, and so now I'm like I have more clarity on that, so that just
good.
that was a blessing for that to happen.
I'm so happy
real time. Seriously, Jill, love you, thank you so much. Leah, it has been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Absolute pleasure. And I can't wait to talk about more of this stuff. And now I'm going to be thinking too about C's. I'm going to be like, Mom, just in case anything I'm not aware of, because I'm like sitting there, you know, yeah, but their last name is Cueva, but that was my great grandmother. And that was, so I'm like, I'm going to do some thought process here. While I do that. So yeah. Would you mind, Jill, doing me a favor? Cause I know you said, I think you had a copy of it, and if it's okay with you, Leah, sending me that message that was written.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
On that date, because I would love to see that. Cause I'm going straight to my mother. I'd be like right now, like, you're not going to believe this one. Like, this is crazy because we just talked about it probably yesterday and the day before.
It's okay with all the other stuff on the bottom.
Yeah. Well, change. I also did a reading on the bottom. So what, for me, and so you'll see that part of it too. I sent her the whole picture. So
whatever you want, even if it's a piece of it, whatever is relevant. Yeah. It's just, it was just really, really cool. And I was like,
I heard
it while I was listening to
Feel
it.
Feel free.
I heard it while I was listening to it, and then I was kind of like, whoa, at the same time. So it was really, really cool. So ladies, thank you.
This
so
has
much.
Been fun.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Was it easy? I mean, was there any of your fears quelled at all? Was there any?
No fears. We're good.
Awesome. So
I want
to thank you on behalf of me and our listeners. And I'm just so excited to, you know, get this one out and hear it and go from there. And ladies, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right,
bye.
Hello again, my dear listeners. So as I had mentioned in the beginning of the show, all of our shows are pre-recorded, and this particular show was recorded in and around February. I usually do them about a month in advance if possible. So obviously there are going to be certain references that might seem a little off. Like when I say I was at the beach last week, obviously if it's in February, probably didn't happen, but you never know, right? Could have been in the Caribbean. That would be the dream. However, I wanted to update everybody on this particular episode because if you listen to it, I was talking about with the ladies the reading that I had had unintentionally about my grandmother trying to get in touch with me. And I had known for a while she was doing that. What I wanted to update everybody on was more clarity. And all of a sudden, I did have a bunch of clarity. I did have a conversation with my mother. Weeks later, it turns out that C could have been my great-grandmother, Carmen, who we did not think about. And it hit me one day like a bolt of lightning with some conversations with my sister and my mother, because my sister was having some things as well with somebody named Carmen and the letter C, and that is our great grandmother. So it's really interesting. The other part that really blew my mind afterwards was you can tell in the reading that they were telling me to set up an altar from my grandmother. Unfortunately, with times being what they are and everything digital, I didn't really have any pictures of my grandmothers, of any of them really, except in old photo albums, probably in storage. And none of us have altars to our grandparents and our ancestors in our houses, myself, my mother, my sister included. So I decided to listen to what they were telling me, and I set up an altar. and I put flowers in it, and I was looking for a space to have this. And one morning I get a text, 6 o'clock in the morning, from Jill that says, "Your grandmother sent me a message, or sent Leah a message, to make sure you put it over your right shoulder." Interestingly enough, right over my right shoulder is over my bed, and that's exactly where I put the altar for her. I lit a white candle, said my intentions, talked to my grandmother, and I got sent a dream that night. I won't go into the details of the dream because there was a lot going on there, but it turns out it's possible that one of the things she was trying to tell me was I needed to remove somebody or some people from my life. And once I did that, the messages ended. She stopped trying to contact me. Now I still have her altar here. And knowing my grandmother, it could have been she just wanted me to put a picture of her on my dresser right next to me where she could watch me. But I have not gotten a message since. So I think a lot of it is about her or anybody else trying to protect us, trying to protect us from ourselves. Who knows if someone could be a danger? That may not even be the case. I think a part of it is just maybe them seeing in us patterns that they lived. And maybe, just maybe, they want to try to help us do better. And I loved the fact that this was something I can share with you guys. And I figured I owe that to you because it's easier than just guessing for anybody who really wanted to know. Also, I am aware we didn't get into any of my chakra cleansing and balancing, but this episode ended up being a little longer than I'd like to be. So what I'd like to do at some point is go back to that and maybe have an episode on that, because that alone was one of the coolest things that I've done recently. And it was extremely eye-opening, no pun intended. And it definitely made me think about some things that I had going on in my life. So all of this is tied together, and it definitely will be a great conversation. So thank you all again for listening to Ride or Die from Teens to Prosecco Queens. You know where you can reach me, proseccoqueenspodcast@gmail.com. Also, Prosecco Queens Podcast on IG. If anybody's interested in catching up with Leah and or Jill, please let me know. Feel free to contact me and I can give you their contact information. They would love to speak to you. There is not a Prosecco Queens Facebook page. However, we do have a YouTube page with our audio clips, and that is also Prosecco Queens Podcast on YouTube. I thank you all. Blessings to you all. And thank you again for listening.